Val, you're not looking forward to any games? Aw.
Well, maybe after tonight's show.
Maybe she will be, because we're looking forward to games.
If you don't fall asleep before we start, because we're taking so long. Little fella.
Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Jocelyn. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm feeling a little giggly right now, which I know is totally different than normal, so bear with me if I randomly start laughing in the middle of the show.
That's fine. I think that's why half our audience tunes in.
I think so.
The other half is just hoping we start a video podcast.
Oh, God, do you even want to talk about our Google Plus Hangout experience?
First we'll preface it with that it's not how, like, our show is going to work, because people aren't going to actually be able to join randomly, but, yeah, we should talk about it. It is game-related.
That's true, it is game-related. On Sunday night, we had a Google Plus Hangout that was hosted by someone who is normally in our chat room by the name of Dave Carver, and he is a friend of mine that I've met through work-type stuff, and so he hosted an Aces Poker Hangout, but made the mistake of making it public. And it was an experience and a half. I think I hung in for about a minute and maybe a minute and a half. And that was all it took to be enough for me to jump out of it, because there were so many random people jumping in and yelling things at me. So I left. And Ryan, what happened right after I left before you had the opportunity to exit?
Yeah. See, I was confused because this was my first, like, Aces Poker Hangout. So I have never done it with... Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I have never been a part of a hangout with Dave. And I was really excited about playing poker, so I jumped in as soon as he invited me, and I noticed there was a bunch of random people. Now, I didn't know who he was inviting, so I just assumed they were his buddies or his Google Plus friends. And then they start to, like chant Jocelyn's name, and then they're, like, talking to me, and they're, like, trying to get everyone's attention. And in the bottom corner, I see full frontal male nudity, and it was not pleasant at all.
I was able to escape before that happened, so I did not actually experience this. But then we did a private hangout a couple of moments later, and Ryan, when he came into the private hangout, just had, like, his eyes were like saucers, and he was just like, guys, you wouldn't believe what I just saw. What is this hangout thing?
Yeah. I'm like, guys, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but I saw a male penis, and I am not happy about what I just saw. Like, it was...
Okay, it was hilarious, is what it was.
Okay, yeah. In hindsight, it's pretty funny, because usually people talk about these, like, video hangouts. This isn't new. Like, public video hangouts is a thing that was around before Google, and most of the time when people talk about those things, they talk about how sometimes you'll get in and have a decent conversation with a stranger. Other times you'll get in and they'll flash their junk. Personally, I prefer just playing poker. And we did. We should probably move past this whole thing and go and thank Dave, because eventually it did work out and we had some good times with poker.
We did. We had a full poker table. There was about, what was it, 8 or 10 of us playing? It was good.
It was a lot of fun. And definitely going to do it again. I'll let Dave handle the Google Plus Hangout thing, though.
Yes. We have to learn extended circles instead of public.
Yes. And I lost a lot of money.
But it was just fake game money. So yeah, Ryan, did you buy money?
I mortgaged my house, actually.
Oh, crap. So you went back and played again.
If you're going to go big, might as well go big. Go Vegas. True. Vegas.
So, other than us attempting Google Plus Hangouts, which eventually we think we're going to use Hangouts on Air and start up a video podcast, which we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, but I think we'll probably start once we have a little bit of a better Hangout experience. We'll be starting up soon. But we also, as those of you that are following us on social media, will have noticed, we have a new logo. So that was designed by Joel Duggan, who also did our avatars, and we're pretty excited about it. I love it.
It looks great. It's really popping in, like, all of our online presences. Like, every time I see it, it's just, the green is just, it pops a lot better than the brown.
Yeah, yeah. Not a graphic designer. So,
oh, well, yeah. Joel made this point.
Not good at logo creation. So I was very happy to hand over the reins to Joel because I'm, yeah, not very good at it.
Joel made this point on Twitter. I saw that, you know, the logo, original logo was actually created by Jocelyn. And it was a great, like, initial effort to get us rolling. And we always talked. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a good logo.
Okay.
It's a hell of a lot better. I already said this. It's a hell of a lot better than what I could have done. mine would have involved two stick figures probably around like a computer and the Gamers Inn and Comic Sans above it. I don't know. because all idiotic designers use Comic Sans, right? But no, it's definitely an improvement, and the green really pops, and it's a nice even square now, so it uses all of the space given. So
yes, very true. So yes, we love the new logo look. We also have a new banner on top of our Google Plus page, and we will have a new banner on top of our Facebook page when I get around to changing it. I just remembered now sitting here because I can't get onto Facebook at work, so I couldn't update the banner. But
I saw that banner. It looks good.
Yes. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And also, the final new piece of Gamers Inn news, which we totally forgot to mention last week, is that now you can check in to us on GetGlue when you are consuming our podcast, which will be great, and we're really looking forward to finding out who listens to our podcast and when. So you can check in from your phone, or you can check in online, but remember to check in to GetGlue when you're listening to the Gamers Inn.
Yeah. Greg has been a big user of that, I saw.
Yes.
He's been rocking
that is,
the Get Glue.
I am French Boy, who often sends us feedback and tweets and such, and has apparently checked in quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not careful, he's going to become the guru.
Yeah,
I think that's Dave right now, who is sales geek.
I don't think the guru should be the co-host of the show. I think it probably should be an outsider. Then it doesn't look so biased, right?
Well, that's true.
You're supposed to love your own product, right?
I guess so, in theory.
Yeah, in theory.
So that leads us to our actual product, which is our show. And so the first segment is what we're playing. So Ryan, what have you been playing?
Oh, strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan has played a Kinect game. Yeah. The Steel Battalion Heavy Armor demo was launched on Xbox Live this week. And we've talked about it before, and I picked it up right away. And it's like a hybrid Kinect controller game, but most of the controlling is done through the Kinect. Like, you are a commander of a mech. There are three other dudes in the mech at the same time. Very claustrophobic, you know. Picture like a normal tank and how much space is in like a normal tank, and you know, you'd have three people. You have your two gunners, one on each side, that like reload the separate guns on your arms. And then you have a nav dude who's just to your left. And occasionally they'll like talk and stuff, but really they're there to kind of offer unique scenarios. So when you're moving around, sometimes if the action gets really heavy and they start panicking, like one dude will like literally try to run out of the mech, and you have to like grab him and then throw him against the wall and start punching him. And this is all done with Kinect, right? So as he like jumps out of the cockpit, you have to like grab up with your hand, pull down, and then shove him into the wall, and then you're punching him, like literally punching air, but it is represented on the screen. It's very cool. But being Kinect, it is not always the greatest experience. I originally played this in a normal environment where just my couch set up, right? And it was constantly screwing up. There's a move specifically to get up from your chair in the game and move towards the viewport, I guess, to see what you're doing and to shoot your guns. And you push your hands forward, I'm doing it literally.
I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice that you're actually pushing the air right now.
Yeah. Anyways, you push forward to move forward, and when you do that, you kind of shift to a controller mode. So you pick up the controller and you use the sticks as if you'd figure you're moving a mech, you know, tank style, and shooting with the triggers. The guns automatically reload and everything. But when I was playing on the couch, every time you push forward, you jump back. Like, your character would jump back as if you initiated the push again. And it was super frustrating. I kept dying. And in a rage, I shut the Xbox off. I'm like, I'm not playing this anymore.
Rage quit.
Screw it. And, yeah, a rage quit. A literal rage quit. I almost took the Kinect and spiked it into the ground. that would have been expensive. So what I did was, I even tweeted a photo. I pulled the couch back. I moved the table out of the way. I went and grabbed a kitchen chair and plopped it in the middle of my living room in front of the Kinect.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
If you're playing the Kinect, isn't it kind of like the Wii and the idea is that you're not sitting down? Could that not have been the problem?
You're supposed to sit down. I failed to mention that sitting down is you sitting in the mech, but during combat, your viewport can actually become damaged, and you have to close this little steel thing so shells don't get inside and basically tear your guys apart. So when your viewport glass breaks and shatters because of damage, you have to close that port and then stand up to see. And then when you stand up, that's your dude popping out of the mech and looking around. And you can kind of see the whole battle, and then you pop back into the mech and pull down like a periscope to shoot rather than go into the viewport.
I see.
So it's like, it's weird. There's like dynamic damage and everything. But anyways, playing with the chair, it worked a hell of a lot better. And I actually was able to finish the level without dying.
Were your pants the same color as the couch?
Well, I was wearing shorts, so...
At least you were wearing pants. That's a bonus.
I couldn't tell if that question was an evasion to ask if I was wearing pants while playing the Xbox Kinect.
Yes, No. It didn't start out that way.
But now it is. I was wearing pants at the time, yes. Pants optional this game.
I just meant because I thought maybe if you blended in with the couch, it was having trouble figuring out if you were standing or sitting or, you know, pushing or whatever.
Maybe, because when I was at the test screen, it kind of looked like my legs were blending in with the couch because the couch is like a solid object. So when I got the chair, it worked a lot better because the Kinect could see there was nothing behind my legs.
Right.
Because it was just a normal chair, but... when it works, it's really cool because it feels like you're in a mech and you're controlling everything in the mech. There's like 20 different buttons inside that you have to use your hands for, and the action sometimes gets a little too intense. And this is just the demo, mind you. And so, like the first level, the action was getting really intense, and when the action gets intense, you start making wide movements, and then your Kinect, you know, you're trying to go to the viewport, but it's like pulling down like the eject button, which totally works. In training, just to wrap up, in the training mission, it shows you self-destruct button, and you can like flick it up to open it, and your guys in your crew is like, oh, look at you, you're hilarious. And then you go to push it, and the guy from the side grabs your hand. It's like, what the hell are you doing? So I had to try. At the end of the mission, I was successful, and I did the eject button. And the last thing you hear before you explode is, what the fuck? So I don't really know the point of the self-destruct button, but it's definitely a neat little feature that I remember being in the older game. But yeah, it's coming out this summer, and it's going to be $60, but I'm pretty sure it'll drop pretty quick. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's worth $60.
So... You said the Steel Battalion heavy armor uses the Kinect and the controller, and you have to, like, pick it up and put it down. Like, can you use the Kinect with the controller still in one hand? Do you have to, like, put it right down?
You should... I felt that I had to put it down because every time I had it in my hand, it would ignore my left hand.
Oh.
So...
See, that was the one thing that I hated the most about, well, I mean, the only time I used it on the Wii was with the Wii Fit. And it's like some of the stuff would be with the balance board, and then some of the stuff would be the balance board and the controller, or just the controller. And so you were constantly like putting it up and trying to find, you know, where'd I leave the controller? And you have to, even if it's just a balance board thing, you still have to press A. And I was just like, oh, it's so frustrating to just the up and down of the controller. I don't know. Not a fan of the two things working together. It's like either you use a controller or you use the Kinect. I don't like the smooshing together of it.
Yeah. But I mean, this is a tough game because, I mean, if you didn't have the controller, it would be really hard to walk and shoot. And the Kinect is really more about replacing that 200-button controller so you can still, you know, switch your gun mode and turn your mech on by pulling on this, like, shift gear thing. And
right.
I think it's neat. Definitely a rent if you have a Kinect, because it's, like, one of the first games to come out that fully uses the Kinect and is not some party game.
Right. Is there voice control, too, or is it just
movement? Just it's movement. I didn't see any voice control, although that would have been pretty... Well, see, it's, like, old-style World War II type tech, so if mechs were around in World War II, like, that's kind of how... I guess that's the best way to explain it, is like if mechs existed in World War II, like just picture that technology. So voice recognition really wasn't around then,
right?
But like steampunky sort of diesel engines, I guess. I don't know. Just think when you think World War II, like that's kind of if you can picture that tech in that era.
Yeah, I got it.
Cool.
Do you want to tell me it's World War II again?
No.
Okay.
But World War II.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, so is that anything else you could?
No. That's all I've got for that game.
All right, cool. So I just want to mention WoW quickly because we did get to play a little bit this past weekend. And we walked into this area that Joel was expecting to be kind of like this desert area. I think it's called Desolus, I think. And so we kind of walked in, and it was all deserty and stuff, and all of a sudden there's this big, like, oasis thing in the middle. And, like, Joel had been there, I think, pre-Cataclysm. And so he's like, oh, this is new. So we went walking into it, and there was such a mix of, like, creatures. There were level 10 things. There were level 30 things. I think it's a starting area for goblins, maybe? Maybe. I'm not 100% sure. But it's new anyways. And so we walk into this, like, forested kind of area, and I'm walking along the path, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, Joel, stop! Night elves, like, alert! And then, but they weren't attacking us, and I mean, I was standing right beside this one chick, and I hovered over her, and she was yellow, and I was like, yellow? That's interesting. Normally they are red, because we play Horde, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, so we walked a little bit further in, and, like, the whole time, like, he just kept saying, like, oh, I think they're going to attack. I don't think we should be here. They might attack us. And then, so all of a sudden, I see a Tauren, and I was like, wait a minute. They're Horde. What's going on here? And every single one of them, whether they were normally Horde or normally Alliance, didn't matter. They were all yellow, and it was like they banded together to protect this little oasis thing. It was, like, really creepy, but really cool at the same time. But the whole time we were in there, we were expecting to be attacked, so it was a little bit kind of stressful, but all kinds of quests and stuff, but nobody was ever friendly. It was kind of cool.
Now, you mentioned Night Elves and Tauren. Were they, like, druid types? If you know what I'm talking about, maybe? I'm picturing that area, like, the only thing I can picture of them working together would be if they're, like, druids, because...
They might have been...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't played that
I was going to say, I'm not familiar enough with it to say for sure one way or the other, but it was really cool experience anyways.
Well, we should talk about druid lore for the next hour or so.
Oh, I think so.
Oh boy, can I talk about some druid lore? No,
can we
I'm just
tie
kidding.
It back to World War II? Because I think you really had a good World War II thing going on
I
there.
I did. Well, technically, no, I'm not going to even try that. That would be too many degrees of separation. But that's interesting, though, because there are a lot of areas now in Cataclysm where I think they have that, you know, conflicting but working together. That's something they really started to do after Burning Crusade, because, you know, in Wrath, it was kind of the first expansion where the Alliance and Horde had to band together to defeat the Lich King.
Right.
And same with Cataclysm, it was the same idea where the Horde and Alliance had to band together to defeat Deathwing. you know. So it's not really a surprise, but it could be like the Druid thing. It could be just a, you know, we have to band together to stop one evil, then we'll worry about fighting later.
I just thought it was really, really cool because as far as I knew from what I knew of WoW, which was not very much before I started playing, was it was like Horde versus Alliance. And it was like always like, grr, angry at each other, we hate you, kind of thing. And so I had no idea that these kind of areas and cooperation and stuff existed because I'd never come across it before. And everything I'd heard people talk about is like, I'm Horde, you're Alliance, kill, kill, kill. So
yeah,
it was a really cool experience for me, actually.
And you said it was like a deserty area, like
I can't even remember exactly where it was, which is so bad because, you know, I like maps. But we bounced around to a lot of different places trying to find something that worked well with our level. So I can't remember 100% where it was. But yeah, it was like I'm pretty sure it was called Desolus, and it was a desert kind of area. Like, you start off in this like seaside town, mm-hmm. and then you kind of go between these two mountains and then into this like deserty area. But then, and apparently it used to be all like rocks and desert. And now it's got this big rainforest in the middle. Oh. So.
Well, yeah, Joel is confirming it's Desolus, so. I don't remember that area very well. It's been so long since I played WoW. I mean, I'm kind of hoping Mists of Pandaria sparks, you know, gets me back in. Because I don't think any other MMO is going to do it for me. I think WoW is the only one that could really latch me back in. Because I'm such a fan of Blizzard games in general, but also like the lore and the story behind WoW and the franchise of Warcraft. So,
you know what you should do? You should totally sign up for 30 days just to see if you can get back into it again.
I want to, and I will say as once Diablo 3 starts to, and I have been feeling this lately with Diablo 3. Once that starts to become not my go-to game, I might have to resub. Because there's really nothing else coming out anytime. Like, we're heading into the summer drought, so
yep.
Perfect time to resub for an MMO.
Especially when it gets your co-host a celestial mount.
Yes. And then and then Ryan will be able to actually talk about WoW rather than trying to remember. 5 years ago, I can't remember.
Yep.
So
you mentioned Diablo 3. You've been playing more of that?
Tons of it. Tons of it. I beat normal mode with my Demon Hunter.
Which is insane. I have only reached... Well, we got to the end of Act 1 and saw the cinematic, which was awesome, which I think you touched on last week. Like, mm-hmm. Holy crap, that was cool. And then we got partway through Act 2, and I think we beat a boss, or maybe two bosses in Act 2. So we've got, like, significantly through Act 2, I think. So... But we're like, it's pretty slow going playing with Joel because of all the problems that I touched on last week with his graphics card and stuff and all the lag. And yeah, so we're not flying through it nearly as fast as we should be. But
any progress on that driver issue?
No, not yet. Mm. I mean, there hasn't been anything that's come out from Apple or Nvidia or Blizzard. So, I mean,
yeah,
maybe not holding breath.
Server issues are probably their priority right now, and they continue to have them. I know. Extended maintenance yesterday, I think it was.
I couldn't believe it. It was down for, I think, 2 scheduled hours, and then it took, 4 hours or something? I was just like, holy crap. It was like the whole afternoon, and everyone was pissed.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was jumping in last night, and I had to wait, and the auction house was like, having some issues because every time I tried to post something, I'd get an error, and oh, it's just so sketchy. But I did eventually get in, and beating the game, it took me 20 hours, so I did play a lot. And the cinematics are just keep getting better, so I keep at it.
Definitely, we're gonna keep, like, we're still enjoying it. It's taking a long time.
I know, and it's really tough. I don't think, like, we're probably just going to continue talking about Diablo, but you'll notice we haven't really touched on story. It's more been gameplay.
I know. I don't want to talk about story because I'm not very far in, and I know there's a lot of people that aren't very far in, so I don't want to start talking full-on story and endgame and stuff.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask, like, in terms of story, are you finding that the story is really hooking you at all? Or are you enjoying the story, or is it just kind of there?
I'm enjoying the story, but it's definitely not the driver behind it. Like, there's no sense of urgency. Like, I always obviously go back to Mass Effect because heart, but... you know, in Mass Effect, I was really drawn into the story, and the story kept, like, driving me through the game and making me want to play and making me, like, come home from work and sit down in front of the Xbox and go, go, go.
Yeah.
Whereas with Diablo, it's fun for other reasons. It's fun because, like, you unlock all these new abilities and you get to slice and dice demons in all these different ways, and there's cool effects and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, loot. Loot is so much fun. So, I mean, all of that is what keeps me coming back. So the story is interesting, and the lore is interesting, but I find that that's not what keeps me going through the story.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I enjoyed the story throughout, and I definitely, like, wanted to see it unfold, but right now, and I guess this is the testament to the game, that when you beat it, when I beat a game, I don't normally think, hey, I'm going to start it again. But this one's different. A lot of people have this opinion that when you beat it on normal, like, the first thing you do is start it on nightmare. You beat it on nightmare, the first thing you do is start it on hell. And it's one of those weird things. And I'm finding the difficulty hasn't really... It doesn't get harder. It just, you know, the loot gets better and you just keep leveling up. So nightmare I'm not finding very hard, although I have been dying a lot in Act 2. With those damn bug things.
Oh my god, those are the worst. The bug things that spit the little bugs at you?
Yes.
Oh,
hate
so
them.
So frustrating.
They catch me off guard all the time. I actually played with four people at one point in Act 2, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
four people.
The most that we've played with, actually Robot Beach, who has purchased the game after winning our 7-day pass. He actually went and purchased Diablo. So he jumped in and played with Joel and I for just a little while. But like, we were spending time trying to figure out the graphic issues and Joel's lag and stuff. So we didn't play with three people for very long. But it was still fun. It was kind of cool because it's like you go from, like, Joel and I, when we play, obviously stick pretty close together. But when Robot Beach jumped in, it was just like, you know, like there's little dots moving all over the map. And it's like, Jocelyn's over here, like killing stuff with frost bolts. And, you know, like Joel's way over on the other side and Matt's somewhere else. And it was really cool. So it was like clearing the map didn't take nearly as long when there were three of us. Sorry.
I found it wasn't as difficult with more people.
Yes. Yeah.
I found that it's a lot more fun because when I play... my buddy has a vent server, so we all jump on vent and we're all talking at the same time as we're playing, and I think that really increases the fun factor of the game, is just not only being in there killing things and smashing things, but also just discussing as we're playing and like talking loot drops. And
right,
because everybody has their own loot table, what we would do is when, oh, I have a demon hunter item, and he'd drop it on the ground and I'd pick it up, and it's like, oh, I have a, you know, a barbarian item. So that's really interesting. It kind of, I was talking to my buddy about this, that because of the separate loot tables, there's no fighting over loot. And because your buddy doesn't see what you pick up, you can keep that really cool demon hunter item and auction it, or you can be nice and go back to old school ways of sharing loot, right, and giving that to somebody.
Which is what we did when we... Well, I mean, Joel and I always talk on Skype, but when Matt jumped in, what we did was he started off playing with like a level 28 character, and I mean, like, he was just one-shotting stuff. Joel and I are kind of like, oh. And then so he switched to a level 10 wizard, and my character is a wizard, so I had a whole bunch of stuff that I couldn't use anymore that I just like was throwing at him, and I was like, oh, here, I have these 5 spell books. Does this help? And then he would kind of pick his favorite and then go from there. So, and I thought, like, I really enjoyed that part where I was just like, I have these good things. Here, take these good things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, I'd rather give my items away because I'm no good at the auction house. I can't sell stuff. Stuff doesn't sell. Have you been doing a lot of auction house stuff?
I've done some auction house stuff, but not too much. I haven't really taken the time to do it. Every time I go to do it, I get error messages, same as you. So, I mean, and I know that it's just like, it seems like whatever days I pick, I just sit down and there's a little message at the beginning saying, we're doing auction house maintenance. I'm like, damn it. But this is my time. This is my like half an hour that I'd set aside to do Diablo things and now I can't. So, yeah, I think I've tried to sell a couple of things. I have sold a couple of things, but so far it's not really worth it. But I mean, there's so many people that are kind of like at our level now and not so many people that are at lower levels. So the stuff that I'm selling, there's like 8 billion of the same thing. So I think once I start playing on harder difficulties and getting better loot, then it'll be more worth it to sell things on the auction house. But
a point that was made when we were playing is that the lower level item stuff is probably going to sell just as well, because when people start beating Inferno mode, they're going to have all that gold, and if they try to re-roll, they're just going to get to a certain level and spend all that gold on just to gear up their dude rather than have to find the gear, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So that could be a particular instance where selling low level stuff would be handy.
Yeah, it just I've been having trouble with the search function in the auction house. And so, like, trying to find things and trying to find the same item as what I'm trying to sell, or at least something similar, just to get an idea of pricing, is such a pain. It's so annoying and boring, and, you know, like, I know exactly what I'm looking for, but even if you enter in exactly what you're looking for, there's just so many items on the auction house that you still can't find it, so...
Yeah, because the stats are so random. I was doing that. I spent an hour filling out 10 auctions, maybe not an hour, but just trying to put all my auctions up, and it's like, okay, it has it's a hammer, it has 25 DPS, and it, you know, and it's just, then there's no guarantee you're going to sell, because there's just so many varying options.
Yeah, it's tedious.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I think once they iron out all the kinks, then it'll be a little more fun. And once they get, is the real money auction house up and running yet?
It has been delayed yet again to mid-June.
Again? Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not super interested in that, but I am interested to see how it all works out. Yeah.
So were you playing anything else this week, or do you want me to touch on my last two quickly?
No, those are the major ones for sure. I want to hear about Sims.
Yes. So thank you so much, Americans, for having a long weekend, because the one thing that they do better than anyone else is do video game sales.
Tell me about it.
So I actually purposely didn't look at Steam, because I spent enough money in freaking Origin, which I actually had a pleasant Origin experience. I just, you know, found all my games, had an easy checkout, and everything downloaded and installed without me having to do anything. It was actually beautiful.
Jocelyn, I'm going to fill you in on something here. Origin really isn't that bad. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Those Steam fanboys, I'm pretty sure Gabe Newell's just in all the forums being like, Origin sucks. Don't use Origin, it sucks, you know? So it's really not that bad.
Yeah, so I didn't have any Origin problems, which was nice. But so over the weekend, EA had a 50% off sale on everything. So what I did was I went in to check out the pricing on all the expansion packs for The Sims, because the last expansion I bought was Ambitions, which I think was back in either 2009 or 2010. So anyways, and I mean, I love The Sims. I love The Sims. I love SimCity. Just all of that I think is so much fun. So I got all of the expansions up until the most recent one, which was Showtime, which came out a couple of months ago. I can't remember actually if it was March or April, but recently.
Is that the Katy Perry expansion?
There is a Katy Perry version of it, but I did not purchase the Katy Perry version.
You're not a fan of firework boobs or whatever?
No, okay. No, not so much.
Okay.
I like my boobs without fireworks. Thank you. But anyways, so I think there were four expansions for The Sims, and I also got, but I haven't actually had a chance to play yet, the Sims Medieval expansion pack. And that is Pirates and Nobles. And I'm really excited about that, because I really liked Sims Medieval, but kind of after one playthrough, it got boring because it was the same quests over and over again. They basically incorporated questing into The Sims, which was interesting and fun the first time, but then it was just like a random assortment of the same quests. So it got really boring really fast. So this is all new quests, all new towns and characters and everything else. So I'm looking forward to playing that. But all of that, the four expansions to The Sims 3 and The Sims Medieval expansion cost me $75. Wow. And normally they're like $40 to $50 each, depending on what the... I think that the Pirates and Nobles expansion was actually $60 when it first came out. So I'm pretty freaking excited about that.
So you just purchased them. You haven't... Have you jumped in yet?
I did. Well, yeah, I haven't played The Sims 3 since I reinstalled my operating system, and that was over a year ago now. So it's been a long time since I've touched the franchise. So I downloaded everything, installed everything, and then I was like, okay, yay, I'm going to play some Sims. 2 hours later, I'd made my chick. I had totally forgotten how long character creation takes, because it's like you can customize everything. It's like for the bridge of your nose, there's four different sliders, and it's like depth of bridge, width of bridge, like just shape and like crazy, crazy amounts of customization. So, I mean, it's fun, but you totally lose yourself in the amount of time it takes to make your characters. So, yeah, I spent my entire chunk of time that I was planning on like playing around with all the new functionality and objects and towns and everything else. I spent that whole time just making my chick. So I haven't actually dived into all the new expansion material, but man, there's a lot of stuff there.
So just to be straight, it took 2 hours to create your character, then probably would only, if you had jumped in, it probably wouldn't only take an hour to trap them in a bathroom and have them pee themselves to death, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
which is about my experience. I have a funny Sims experience, but I'll save that for another episode.
Yeah, so the reason that I only had this short chunk of time that I wanted to play The Sims is because something that we both love released more free multiplayer DLC yesterday, and that was Mass Effect 3.
The game that shall not be named, which you just named. I tried to jump in there because I know people don't want us to talk about Mass Effect 3 anymore.
Why? That's just Dave. That's one person. Mass Effect 3 is awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
So I will just touch on it quickly. I will be so quick. It'll be like this never even happened. So Val and I jumped in and played Smash. Oh, and Lou, Busy Zombie Lord, jumped in with us later on as well. And so we played the new DLC, which is a whole bunch of new, same as last time, whole bunch of new characters, two new maps. And it was good. They've definitely dropped the difficulty level, like completely. We played through just the three of us and got extracted on bronze. So I was like, yeah, they've totally changed this.
Wow.
Because, yeah, I remember the four of us used to have such a hard time and get extracted like two or three times a night when we would play for hours. So, I mean, they've totally changed the difficulty level. So we played on silver, and I believe we got one full extraction on silver. And we came close. We got to wave 7 or 8 most of the time. So it was good, though. It was fun. We played the two new maps, and they were a little bit hard to navigate. Both of them, I believe, one for sure, but I think both of them were kind of exploded, destroyed worlds. So there's a lot of, like, instead of flat floors, there's a lot of, like, rubble and stuff. And so you get hung up sometimes, which is not fun. Mm. But yeah, so yeah, we played for a couple hours and it was good. It was fun. You know, like the new content for Mass Effect is always good. So
now, they released a free pack before, and did you get any of the characters from the other pack?
I did. I got a Geth character. I got an Asari, what was she? An Asari Adept.
Oh, okay.
And something else. I unlocked 3 from the last pack anyways, but I also haven't been playing very much lately.
I only unlocked the one, the Geth dude. Yeah. We should play. I was supposed to play with you guys, but I had already set up a Diablo thing. So, maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow.
Which is not a good to talk it on the show, but yeah.
All right, so I think that does it for what we're playing. So, into quickfire news. Is Skyrim getting more DLC? ZeniMax Media, which is Bethesda's parent company, has filed a trademark application project called Hearthfire. Rumor has it that this will be the second DLC available for Skyrim, although it may just be Bethesda protecting their brand. A similar filing occurred in March under the name Dawnguard, which has since been announced as the first Skyrim DLC, which will be available this summer.
Elder Scrolls isn't using the Hero Engine. In a recent interview with Game Informer, game director Matt Fearer was asked to explain the reason behind licensing the Hero Engine, Matt explained that when the studio was founded in 2007, they were starting from scratch. No employees and no technology. They use Hero Engine as a whiteboard, a great tool to get ideas into the game while the production engine is still in development. The rest of the interview goes even further to help calm MMO fans calling copycat on the newcomer.
Raven's Cry footage has been released. The first game footage of Raven's Cry is now available. This adventure title follows Raven, a man driven to piracy after the death of his parents at the hands of a pirate, and he is on a quest for revenge. The game aims to paint a more historically accurate picture of pirate life than the recent blockbuster Disney movies, and so in spite of the theme of the story, Raven's character never becomes heroic. Raven's Cry is expected to ship in late 2012 or could be pushed to early 2013. So look for a link to the game footage in our show notes.
Epic wins lawsuit with Silicon Knights. The five-year dispute is over. Silicon Knights sued Epic Games in 2007 over a dispute with Unreal Engine 3 and the development of 2Human. In the end, Epic Games has been awarded $4.45 million in damages. One has to wonder how the St. Catharines-based studio will bounce back from this one. X-Men Destiny 2 Mutant Strike Pack, perhaps? Maybe?
Harlequin's Revenge is now available on Xbox 360 and PS3. The next DLC for Batman Arkham City has been released. You can now get the Game of the Year edition, complete with Catwoman, Nightwing, not Nightwoman, Nightwing, and Robin DLC packs, as well as Harlequin's Revenge DLC. Harley Quinn's Revenge will be available for PC sometime in June.
Witcher devs making new cyberpunk RPG. Based on the classic pen-and-paper role-playing game, Cyberpunk will be developed by a new team composed of veterans from the Witcher franchise. Developer CD Red Projekt said the game will be a mature RPG for mature audiences. Realistic and brutal, set in a rich and futuristic world. It will also include a non-linear story, multiple classes, and a whole whack of weapons and upgrades.
Reckoning 2 was in pre-production before 38 Studios was shut down. More details emerge as 38 Studios lets all employees go, dissolving the team behind Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning and the MMO based in the same universe that is 7 years in the making. Looks like Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning 2 was in pre-production when all this went down, but is now unlikely to move forward. Although 38 Studios still retains the Amalur intellectual property, it is likely that that will soon belong to the state of Rhode Island. However, none of this is set in stone, so there is still a chance that the project can be salvaged. We will keep our fingers crossed.
Tim Cook wants to stay away from the console business. Did you hear that? It's Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony giving a collected sigh of relief. At the D10 conference, the Apple CEO stated that they will not enter the console business in what is thought of as traditional gaming. I guess we can scratch off the appearance of a Pippin 2 at E3 this year, but expect gaming to continue to be a huge part of iOS.
Speaking of E3, E3 is coming next week.
Crazy.
Which is exciting, and it kind of snuck up on both of us. And we found this year there's actually not that many rumors. Pretty much everything that's big news is already confirmed. So, I don't know. Do you want to just jump in and start with Nintendo?
Let's go.
Woot woot. So, the final form of the Wii U is going to be launched at E3. And correct me if I'm wrong, this is coming in November?
Yeah, they've stated it'll launch by end of 2012, but Nintendo has been known to launch their consoles in November.
Well, right in time for Christmas, right?
Yeah, I mean, the GameCube and the Wii was November, so there are, the trend is, yeah.
Right. Oh, so you mean it's rumored? Yes!
Yeah.
We have an E3 rumor.
Nothing's confirmed in the sense that they've only stated that the final form of Wii U would be discussed, so that kind of tells me that they'll have launch games, launch information in terms of date, possibly a price. Who knows, really? But
I know what the price is going to be.
Oh,
too high.
Too high? How much? Are you just saying that because you just don't want to buy it? If you're going to give it to me, it's not too high.
Exactly. If I win it, then maybe I'll play with it.
I think they have to set it at below 300 or else they're screwed.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah. And I bet it's probably going to be 350.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe. it's interesting because I don't think we're going to see any change to the actual Wii U
controller?
Not controller. The controller we already know is going to get some... Well, we talked about the facelift last week, but I think we're not going to see any change to the cosmetics of the console. I think that's going to stay the same as they've shown. Mm-hmm. But I think we will get a confirmation of how powerful this thing is going to be.
Well, I saw some stuff on Twitter that it's not going to be that powerful. It's not going to run Unreal 4, which is what the PlayStation and Xbox run.
Well, yeah, Unreal 4 is supposed to be unveiled at E3, and Epic is like this weird studio that really likes to talk about their engines, and they've stated that, they really hope that next-gen consoles can keep up. And of course, Microsoft and Sony are working with Epic to make sure that it'll work, but Nintendo has never really had the Unreal Engine. It's never really... I don't think the Wii was supported by Unreal Engine 3, and there is a lot of talk out there that the Wii U's hardware is subpar, that the Wii U's hardware is great, but I don't think we'll really know until Nintendo just comes out and says it, because most of the stuff we saw last year was tech demos and PS3 and Xbox 360 footage. It was not actually running on Wii U hardware. So we'll see, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying not to judge, and I'm really hoping that Nintendo does some good things. But I mean, even the stuff that I've seen so far of the games that they are saying are going to be coming either as launch titles or shortly after the launch of the Wii U, like, none of it is impressive. Everything is stuff they've done before. Like, don't come to me with a launch title that's like NHL 2013 or whatever it is. Like, really? Seriously?
It's
Nintendo?
I'm a multi-console guy now. So Nintendo, like, when I had the GameCube was my console. The Wii is my Nintendo console. I have no interest in playing Metro Last Light on the Wii U, even though that recently got delayed on the Wii U, but I'm going to play that on the PC. I'm not going to play it on the Wii U. I'm looking forward to, you know, the Marios and the Zeldas and actually Pikmin 3 especially.
But we've talked about this before, and even the Mario title that they're talking about coming out with is just pretty much a copy of New Super Mario Brothers. Like, they already did it. It looks exactly the same.
And again, I'm not excited about that, but I think if Nintendo is just going to have a Mario game as their launch title, they're setting themselves up. Well, that Mario title, I think they need to have more than that for the launch.
Mm-hmm. They need to have something along the lines of Galaxy, not like a Galaxy 3, but a Mario title that does something like Galaxy did. You know, like, they need to take that idea and go somewhere else with it. And if they don't, they're sunk. I think they're sunk anyway, but
I don't think they're sunk. I think Nintendo is... They aren't stupid. They listen to what people have to say, and the Wii is a great example of Nintendo not being stupid. When they launched that thing, they stuck to their guns, and it was a huge success. Mind you, they let it die a very slow and painful death, but they do that with all their consoles.
That's true.
You know, the N64, the GameCube, and the Wii, they all died slow and painful deaths. But I think Nintendo will... announce some sort of like similar to what they did with GameCube games on the Wii, a relaunching of certain titles with like updated controls and graphics. So I wouldn't be surprised maybe if we get like a Mario Galaxy HD edition, maybe.
Yeah, or a Zelda Skyward Sword redo.
I'd buy it again to play it in HD.
Of course you would.
You know what? Yeah, of course I would. That seems to be the standard response. Because I'm like a diehard Nintendo fan, and I'm not an apologist, but I will play any game they put out that I find interesting. Like, I just love Nintendo games.
Yeah, I think I might sell my copy of Skyward Sword and buy. Well, yeah, and I'm not going to buy a Wii U, so I guess that would be pointless. No, I'm not going to buy it.
So you pretty much stated that you're not interested in buying a Wii U. Like, but there may be something that could change your mind, or
well,
you
the
just...
thing is, like, with the Wii U, unless they come out at E3 and are just like blow my mind with like crazy hardware specs, I'm not even going to touch it, because there's no point. I mean, right now I have a hole where a PS3 should be, I have, like, a whole bunch of PC upgrades and games and stuff that I'd like to do. Like, I have so many other gaming places to sink my money that throwing money at a new Nintendo console that's not even going to keep up with the current gen of PlayStation and Xbox, like, psh, no, not going to happen. Like, just no.
Yeah. I.
You hear me, Nintendo?
They should be listening because Nintendo has stated that their goal is to impress people like you. Like, people of the mindset that they want a hardcore Nintendo console. And they have stated on record saying, we want those people back.
Well, and back is the key. Because, I mean, like, up until November, I was a huge Nintendo fangirl. Like, I love Zelda. I love Mario. I love Nintendo. Until they came out with Skyward Sword and totally just killed the last little bit of me that was hanging on to Nintendo and the Wii and all of that.
Yeah. No, I can see that. For sure, and I, in our discussions leading up to Skyward Sword, before we even started the podcast, I could tell that you were really excited. Then when you played it, you were just super bummed.
Yeah,
and
to the point that I wasn't even like angry and pissed. It's just you totally nailed it. Like just bummed. I was just like, oh man, I had such high expectations for this, and well, Nintendo just killed it.
The glass was shattered. I mean, you were a fangirl, and suddenly and nothing could, you know, sway you from the ways of Nintendo, and then Nintendo just put out what you saw as an inferior product, and it's like, oh, well, I guess I'll just play my Xbox. And
which I do love my Xbox.
Yeah, and again, I think the Wii U is going to be on par with current consoles,
yeah.
And I think they're going to be... They can't make that mistake. They can't. They can't. Don't be stupid, Nintendo. But the conference is going to be Tuesday, June 5th at 9 a.m. So pay attention to your Twitters.
That's when we will get all of our Nintendo news. So that takes us on to Sony, which I don't have a PlayStation or a Vita, so I don't really care about what Sony has to announce. But Ryan does. So, Ryan.
I sort of care. I mean, I was looking into all the E3 stuff, and Sony's is definitely the one that either they're keeping everything under wraps or they are not going to have anything really interesting to announce. But I'm most looking forward to The Last of Us, which is a new game coming out this year in November by the Naughty Dog team, the guys who do Uncharted.
Oh, okay.
And it's a post-apocalyptic game, and you play as a male character, and you're trying to basically smuggle a little girl out of this town into another town. And... I'm just interested to see more about it. It's definitely coming out this year, and I just want to see more of that game before it comes out because it looks really cool. And that conference is Monday, June 4th at 6 p.m. So,
and all of these times are
Pacific,
right?
Yes, sorry. Yeah, this is based on Los Angeles, so it'd be Pacific Standard Time, yeah.
So what I am looking forward to, because as we just discussed... I absolutely love my Xbox, and the big title coming out for Xbox, and we are going to be getting a lot of information about, is Halo 4 by 343 Industries. Woot woot.
Indeed.
So they're saying that they're going to be giving us more information about the single-player campaign, because we've already seen, like, they've released videos of music, and they've released multiplayer stuff as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they've discussed basically how multiplayer is going to work and how it's going to be different from other titles, and the usual Halo framework has been to kind of discuss multiplayer and then have this huge unveiling at E3 of this this really awesome single player trailer as sort of like, this is the game that's coming out in November, you should go buy it kind of thing.
Right.
So.
Because as of right now, we don't know much about the single player at all in terms of the story. Or, like, we know Master Chief is back, correct?
Yes.
But other than that...
I think the basic storyline is that his ship kind of runs into some trouble that he's on. And he wakes up and it's a whole new trilogy. And you're right, they haven't really released a lot, but... I'm looking forward to it. I love Halo, and I just want to know more about that campaign, because that's what I play them for.
Yeah, I think this summer I'm going to be trying to get all the way through all of the Halos, because, as everybody knows, I only just started with the Anniversary Edition. This, I guess, last last month? No, March I picked it. Because Joel and I played when he was down. So, yeah, it was in March that I started playing the single player of that. So, yeah.
And I have an idea for a Road to Halo 4 project. We should do something with that.
Woohoo! Excellent. I like projects. Mm-hmm. And so the Microsoft conference is Monday, June 4th at 9:30 a.m. Pacific. So that covers the big three in terms of hardware, but there are other players that are going to be attending the E3 conference. So one of the announcements is that there is going to be a new Star Wars game that is going to premiere at E3 2012. So, Ryan, shall I talk about what I think?
You go ahead.
Okay, so what I think about this is that, you know, I'm not sure exactly 100% about all the publishers and all the everything else, but I mean, this is LucasArts. Obviously, they have a hand in SWTOR. So, I don't understand why someone is coming out with another Star Wars title, regardless of platform, when SWTOR is losing all of these subscriptions. I feel like they should be trying to push people back into the existing game that they sunk so much money into. And if they have more money to spend on the development of a new game, I think they should be taking that money and dumping it into developers making endgame content for their existing game.
Yeah.
It seems insane to me.
And I mean, that, like, if you look at it from a business point of view, they're separate teams. So technically they could develop two games, and LucasArts is sitting on this cash cow Star Wars franchise. So why not release a new game? But
I know, but if they just keep splitting it up, like, I mean, there's only so many times I'm going to throw money at a Star Wars video game.
The main reason I agree with you is that most of the Star Wars games that come out aren't that great.
Exactly. But SWTOR, I mean, there's podcasts based around it. There's some real, like, the people that play it are still pretty hardcore about it. So, I don't know. It feels to me like they should be investing in that more so because, like you said, so many of the Star Wars titles have come out in the past have just been awful.
Yeah. I think my prediction is that this game will be a story-based action game. It could be... I doubt it's going to be another Force Unleashed game because the second one kind of just bombed.
Mm-hmm.
But I would expect it to be like a story action game.
Maybe it's another Lego game.
Oh, I doubt they'd make that much.
I know, I'm kidding.
Maybe, what are the Jedi Knight or Jedi Academy games? Could it be another one of those?
Maybe.
I haven't played them, but I know they exist.
There's so many Star Wars titles that exist that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Yes.
Also, Assassin's Creed 3, we're probably going to be getting more information about that. So we've seen some of the box art and stuff that places it at the Civil War time, which is interesting. So are you looking forward to 3?
Yeah. I have a shrink-wrapped copy of Brotherhood, and I want to play the third sequel to Assassin's Creed 2, but I'm most excited because it's taking the franchise, which is really fun, and doing something new with it and taking to a new setting. And there's only so many times I can listen to an Italian accent and not go, "Mamma mia, this game is boring." Woohoo! There's actually a Mario character in Assassin's Creed, and he says, "Hey, it's a me, Mario."
Really?
Yeah, it was really awesome.
That is great.
But yeah, Assassin's Creed 3, I'm excited. It's probably the first I tweeted a trailer of it, and I was like, this is the first Assassin's Creed game that I'm actually excited about.
I haven't played the other ones. I mean, like, I think I had my hands in Assassin's Creed when it first came out, but I mean, God, that was years and years and years ago. I haven't kept up the franchise. I did enjoy it. It was cool, but... I think this is another franchise that I might want to play before 3 comes out. So that might be another marathon summer fest. We shall see. I'm stacking up a whole lot of games to buy here, so I think I need to rein myself in.
You're starting to sound like me.
I know!
Assassin's Creed 2 has been on sale on Steam. Like, it's always on sale on Steam, so you could pick all of them up. On the cheap.
Yeah, but see, again, Steam, sitting down in front of my PC, I know I say this every single time, I have to get the thing to connect my controller to my PC, because that is totally what makes me not buy these games on PC is the controller. So
I meant to find a link to something and send it to you and be like, just buy it.
Just buy it, Jocelyn, damn it. Stop complaining.
But yeah, the trailers, I'm looking forward to seeing another trailer for this to some really not Civil War music, probably some dubstep. They're always really good trailers that they make for these games, and really looking forward to it.
And so the final thing we're going to talk about, we polled the chat room because Ryan and I couldn't decide, and so the single person, Swick, in the chat room was our tiebreaker, and so now we are going to talk about EA, and we are not talking about Dragon Age 3. Haha, Ryan. We are talking about SimCity! Huzzah!
And just quickly before we move, I just wanted to mention that the Ubisoft conference is Monday, June 4th at 3 p.m.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Although those are known, that one's usually known to be kind of boring.
Don't say that. That's mean. Almost as mean as me rubbing it in your face that I totally win this EA talk.
Well, SimCity's confirmed, so it makes sense to talk about it. So I'll let you. I will bow out and let you talk.
I'm just so excited to see more of this. I know they released a trailer recently, I think in the last week or so, about the economics of SimCity and stuff, and it's just. It's going to be so good. It's been so long since we've had a SimCity title. So I'm super pumped to see whatever they have to give us at EA at E3. EA, E3, I keep getting them mixed up. It's about time to move to listener feedback, I think.
Do we know when this is coming out? Is it this year?
Or it's supposed to be this year.
Oh, really?
Cool. As far as I know, I think it's supposed to be late 2012. So.
Sweet.
I know, right? They come out of nowhere after like 10 years of no SimCity, and they're like, oh yeah, guys, just so you know, 6 months from now, new SimCity.
I've never played a SimCity. Have you ever played a Dragon Age?
No.
Well then, I think not playing a SimCity is a little more shocking.
SimCity's been around forever.
I may have like dabbled a little bit or seen someone play it, but I've never sat down and played
There is nothing better than like building up a huge city and taking like 25 hours to do it and then taking every disaster you can possibly throw at the city all at once. Like, I mean, tornadoes, tsunamis, aliens, volcanoes, all of it. Just boom, right on the city and just destroying it to crap.
I'm looking forward to more games to play on my PC, so I'll probably pick this up. It sounds neat.
I think this is going to be a huge improvement. I mean, SimCity 4 was okay. I wasn't into it as much as I was into SimCity 3. But basically, when I got 4, it just wasn't that big of an improvement, except for they kind of moved everything around in the UI, so it was just harder to get down and get into. Especially when I played the crap out of SimCity 3. So I kind of installed it, tried it once or twice, and went, eh. And then pretty much just walked away from the franchise. So I'm really looking forward to them pulling me back in.
Cool.
And so that conference, when we're going to hear all about SimCity, is Monday, June 4th at 1 p.m.
And Dragon Age 3. Yes.
I'm shaking my head at you right now.
Oh, I thought you were disgusted that
well,
you
that
were
too.
In silence.
So that brings us to listener feedback. So, Ryan, why don't you take it away with our iTunes review?
Yes, we have a 5-star review from Bob Fournier. He's a co-host on the Fanboys Extra Large podcast. Or is it just XL? I don't know. I think it is XL. A great podcast for any... Oh, sorry. Listen to this podcast. I demand it. A great podcast for any video game lover. Keep up the great work... Keep up the great work, guys / gals.
And so that's the last time I'm going to let Ryan read
oh,
stuff.
Oh, come on. It's late.
And so that was a 5-star review. And so we thank Bob very much for leaving us this fabulous 5-star review. A little birdie tells me that he already has Diablo 3 because, as I'm sure everyone remembers from last week, we still have codes to give away for our 7-day passes. So we thank him doubly for his no-strings-attached review. And that means that we do still have a code giveaway. So if you guys want to have your names in for the 7-day pass to Diablo 3, then we are going to give it to a lucky listener who sends us some feedback. Ways to send us feedback include emailing the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com. Also, don't forget to check in to Get Glue while you're listening. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersIn, and we are also on Google Plus, and we are now gplus.2/TheGamersIn. So we have a shortcut now instead of that big, huge, long number that I never even remotely try to say on the show. So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and now our new logo. And you can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at www.starcrossedonline.com. So thank you very much for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week when we will be having a special guest, Paul Swickard, who you may remember from both episode 3 of the Gamers Inn and episode, was it 17, Ryan? It was the all boys episode. Anyways. Yeah. The no girls allowed episode.
With the R backwards.
What? With the R backwards? What?
It's like, I just picture a no girls allowed, like, club sign, and if kids were doing it, they'd put the R backwards.
Oh, I see. Got it.
It was a lame attempt at, yeah.
So anyways, Swick is going to E3, so he will be our on-the-ground correspondent, except that he's going to be on the show a little bit later. Our show next week will also be later. We are going to be recording on Thursdays, probably on Thursday, sorry, not Thursdays, plural, on Thursday, so that E3 is over and Swick has a chance to get home, and then we have a chance to get him on the show.
Yeah, tis will be fun. Boobs, get your boobs here.
Not all Canadians are polite, Ryan. Don't be racist.
Mm-hmm.
I can do math.
You should play with your feet like a monkey.
You know, between sound effects and singing, talking to you is a chore.
Everybody loves my monkey singing. That was the beautiful rendition of My Heart Will Go On, the chimpanzee edition.
Make a note, Minion.
Minion, away!
Okay,
fine.
Quiet you.
Shh!
Damn it, I can't stop laughing!
What?